The reading for this evening is from the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Well, it's wonderful to be with you this evening. As Pastor Karen mentioned, Pastor Jason was at our place last week. Inside secret that he doesn't know, his microphone wasn't working. I have a working microphone. I'm feeling very privileged. We discovered that on Sunday, that his microphone hadn't been working, and that's not a good thing. So you can all kind of say, "We know something you don't know," when you see him again next time. So we're doing this Lenten round robin thing based on the theme of wandering heart, the wandering heart of Peter. Wandering, you might even call it a little bit of a wavering heart sometimes, but Peter's journey with some ups and some downs. But as we do that, we always want to remember this isn't just about poor Peter 2,000 years ago. It's also about us. It's about our experience of our wandering heart and those moments when we really get it and those moments when we just don't. The nice thing for me is that I get one of the texts where Peter absolutely nails it. I mean, Peter just gets it completely in the reading that I just shared with you. Now, the problem with that reading, though, is that's not really what happened. A lot of people don't know this, but that's not really how the story went. The story went like this. Jesus says to his disciples, "Who do you say, or who do people say that I am?" And the disciples say, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets." And then Jesus said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter responded, "You are the eschatological manifestation of the ground of our being, the kerygma in which we find the ultimate meaning of an interpersonal relationship." And Jesus said, "What?" That was a joke that went around seminary second year when we learned all those fancy words. And you know, those words are all true. Jesus is the eschatological manifestation of the ground of our being, the kerygma in which we find the ultimate meaning of an interpersonal relationship. But in Peter's answer, "You are the Messiah, the Son of God," Peter is both profoundly deep and profoundly simple. So the question Jesus asked the disciples, you know, what's the word out there? What's the word on the street about me? What's the scuttlebutt out there? And some, you know, are thinking Jesus is John the Baptist. A couple chapters earlier, John the Baptist lost his head. He's dead. He's gone. But now, perhaps, he has come back to life. And others are saying he's Elijah. Elijah, the prophet from the Old Testament. Elijah, the prophet who'd never died, who was carried up into heaven, and the Old Testament thinking carried into the New Testament era was that Elijah would herald in the coming of the Messiah. The very last two verses of the Old Testament in Malachi chapter 4, talks about God sending Elijah before the great day of the Lord. And others thought maybe he was Jeremiah, another one of the great prophets, or any one of the other prophets. But however you cut it, the word on the street is that Jesus is pretty important. Jesus is God's servant. But in the end, Jesus functions as a messenger. But for Peter, that is not enough. Jesus isn't just the bearer of a message. In a very deeper sense, Jesus is the message. Think back to the story of in Matthew, the end of Matthew 1, where Mary has become pregnant. Remember that story? Mary's become pregnant, and Joseph is going to divorce her quietly. He could have her stoned, but he's going to divorce her quietly, just kind of, you know, let her go off into the sunset. And instead, an angel comes to Joseph and says, don't do that, because this child is special. This child is Emmanuel, which means God with us. In the person of Jesus, it's not just a message from God, it is God's presence in our midst. And for Peter to say, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God, Peter is proclaiming that Jesus is God's agent of work in the world, that it is in Jesus that God is at work. Jesus is not just the messenger. He is the message. And that is a profound change in the course of this gospel, because all of a sudden, as we read the gospel, it's there right in front of us, that this person is the person who will make the difference, the ultimate difference, the difference in both life and in death. And of course, we know where that's heading, especially during the season of Lent. We know where that's heading. It's heading to the cross. The cross where Jesus will take upon himself the brokenness of the world. It's getting to be a little bit old now, but you remember about 15, 20 years ago, the movie The Passion of the Christ? You know, and a lot of people were very touched by how much Jesus suffered, but that misses the point completely. Because it's not about how much physical stuff Jesus suffered. The reality is many, many, many human beings over the course of history have suffered like that. What matters is something deeper, that Jesus carries with him the brokenness of the world as he hangs upon that cross. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You are the one through whom God is working in a very broken world. But Peter's answer is also profoundly simple. I had a friend named Dale. Dale died about 2 years ago. Dale had been my bishop in a different synod, not in this synod, different synod. And when he retired, two things happened. The first thing that happened was he joined my congregation. Interesting to have the retired bishop sitting right back about there every week. He actually became a very good friend, a very close friend, and a mentor. But also, when Dale retired, he was diagnosed with a blood disease. And he was told it was terminal. And he would have about 7 good years. Now, as it turns out, he got about 20 good years. He beat the odds quite a bit. But Dale would come to our pastor's text study, and we'd all sit around talking about the texts. And more than once, Dale would say something like this. You know, I have my disease that I struggle with. And I've discovered that beyond all the theological constructs, all the fancy words, all of those deep, you know, intellectual exercises, in the end, it comes down to one thing. It comes down to Jesus. To Jesus. I mean, I can explain to you the eschatological manifestation of the ground of our being. I can tell you all about the kerygma of that gives us this wonderful understanding of what an appropriate interpersonal relationship is. I can give you all that. But it's more than that. It's Jesus. Because in the end, it's not about knowing the answer. It's about knowing Jesus and understanding one thing, that in the person of Jesus, God is at work in our world. And that as God is at work in our world and in our lives, God takes upon himself the brokenness of all of humanity, including mine, maybe especially mine, because he really needs to take mine, and transforms it into the gifts of life. And that's what empowers us to go out as faithful disciples into this very broken world. That's what empowers us to go out into a world that is hurting, into a world that is just desperate to hear good news, into a world in which there is so much, you know, conflict and tension and stress and all that other icky stuff that's going on these days. We can go out because we know we walk with Jesus. And we don't have to understand, because in the end, we don't. We just don't. I mean, pastors especially don't. We just have lots of fancy words that makes it sound like we know what we're talking about. We really don't understand how God works. I don't get it. What I get is that Jesus is with me. Just as Jesus was with Dale, as he walked a path that he knew would end in death, which, by the way, is true for all of us, just, you know, saying we're all kind of mortal, right? We're all terminal in a sense. As we walk this path, we don't walk it alone. It is true. We walk it with the eschatological manifestation of the ground of our being. That's true. But more importantly, we walk it with Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, God's work in our world, God at work in the midst of brokenness and hurt and pain and fear. God at work. And that's what Peter gets. He nails it. Now, I do need to tell you, spoiler alert, in a couple weeks, Pastor Dan McCurdy from West Salem Presbyterian will be here. He has the rest of the story. And Peter, you had it. You had it, Peter. And then he kind of fumbled it away. But for the moment, let's give Peter that credit, that he got it. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. We really don't need to say much more. Because when we've said that, we've pretty much said it all.